name of this song is Ride Red, Ride, Ride Red. Trumpet from your side,
yeah.
Pick out your chest with pride.
Oh, boy.
Now don't be ashamed when I call your name.
Never ashamed.
Cable you send me with rhythm, you win
me.
Make the whole town red. Now you heard what I said. My goodness gracious, you thrills me bodacious. So ride, ride, ride red, ride, ride red.
And that was Red Allen, Ride, Ride, Ride. Welcome to the Jazz Treasury. My name is Rich Sylvester, and thank you so much for letting me in your ear once again. And today we feature the music of Red Allen and learn a little bit about his life. That particular tune, Ride, 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 recorded back in 1935, Mills Blue Rhythm Band. And that's Henry, Red Allen, Shelton Hamphill, and Wardell Jones on trumpets, George Washington, J.C. Higginbottom on trombone, Gene Mickle and Crawford Wetherington on clarinet and alto, Joe Garland on clarinet, alto sax, and baritone sax, Edgar Hayes on piano, Lawrence Lucy on guitar, Elmer James on bass, O'Neill Spencer on drums, and Lucky Millinder on vocals and the director of the band. Ride, 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 1935. Well, welcome to the Jazz Treasury. Once again, we're looking into the music of Red Allen, finding out a little bit about the man. Born in 1908 and passed away in 1967, trumpet player Henry Red Allen Jr. was the son of Henry Allen, who was the leader of the Allen Brass Band of Algiers, Louisiana. Algiers is directly across the Mississippi River from New Orleans. As a teenager, he played in his father's band with George Lewis, the Excelsior Band, and with the Sam Morgan Band. Like a fine vintage claret, Henry Allen's trumpet playing ripened and matured with age. In his youth, he was often compared to and pitted against Louis Armstrong, but his individual genius continued to develop, and his solo style became entirely his own. He liked to dazzle listeners with cascades of notes, to jump from the very highest to the very lowest register in a single phrase, and to create eccentric, off-center solos that always fitted the background perfectly, but left room for his individuality to shine through. In the 1930s, he was promoted as a recording rival to Louis Armstrong by two record companies. By the 1960s, however, he was being venerated by critics and audiences alike as a true original who had not stood still since the start of his career, and he still possessed the capacity to startle and surprise his public. All right, let's do another piece here by Red Allen. We're going to go on to Feeling Drowsy. And this was recorded back in 1929. Henry Allen and his orchestra. Henry Red Allen on trumpet. J.C. Higginbotham on trombone. Albert Nichols on clarinet and alto. Charlie Holmes on clarinet, soprano sax, and alto sax. Teddy Hill on clarinet, tenor, and baritone. Louis Russell on piano. Will Johnson on banjo and guitar. And Pops Foster on bass. Paul Barberin on drums. 1929, New York City. Let's listen to Henry Red Allen do Feeling Drowsy. Red Allen, Feeling Drowsy, in New York City in 1929. This tune is drawn from the second session led by Allen under his own name. The first had been the previous day, with Louis Russell's band backing Allen, as they had supported Louis Armstrong weeks earlier. Just as Victor Records launched Allen as frontman to the Russell band, Armstrong began to front Carol Dickerson's orchestra. Louis worked with the various backing groups until 1935. when he formed a lasting alliance with Russell, who backed him into the 1940s. "As far back as I can remember," wrote trumpeter Henry Red Allen, "I was playing music, starting in my father's band when I was about 8 years old." Henry James Allen Jr. was the son of one of the best-known musicians in the turn-of-the-century New Orleans area. Henry Allen Sr. was also a brass player, and although musicians of his generation, he was born in 1877, did not really become jazz players as such, almost all the major jazz musicians who started their careers in the Crescent City passed through the ranks of the marching band he organized and led in his home suburbs of Algiers. Now, in New Orleans, there was plenty of work for a young trumpeter, and Allen was an unexpected beneficiary of the exodus during the early 1920s of so many talented players to Chicago. This left plenty of jobs open for him, not only in his father's parade band, but also in other marching or dance groups. Although his father had a great musical reputation, he was not well off and made ends meet as a longshoreman. Much of the band's earnings went on uniforms or sheet music, and the Allens did not even have a telephone. All right, let's move on. A little more Red Allen. Let's go on to a piece called Sweet Sorrow Blues. Suppose this could have been played at a funeral. Sweet Sorrow Blues. This features Spike Hughes and his Negro Orchestra. Henry Red Allen on trumpet and vocal. Leonard Davis and Bill Dillard on trumpet. Dickie Wells and Wilbur DeParis. George Washington on trombones. Benny Carter. Howard Johnson on clarinet and alto. Wayman Carver on clarinet, alto, and flute. Coleman Hawkins here, ladies and gentlemen, playing clarinet and tenor sax. Chewberry on tenor sax. Louis Russell on piano. Lawrence Lucy on guitar. Ernest Hill on bass. And Sid Catlett on the drums. Spike Hughes doing the arrangement here on Sweet Sorrow Blues, recorded in New York City, 1933. Let's listen to Sweet Sorrow Blues.
You're listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
Thank you.
that was Sweet Sorrow Blues, Henry Red Allen. Englishman Spike Hughes was a fervent admirer of Duke Ellington and wrote articles praising him under the pseudonym Mike in The Melody Maker. He led an English band called the Decadents, but in 1933 went to New York to recruit this all-star band to play his own arrangements. The piece catches the spirit of Ellington's writing better than almost any early pastiche. Ernest Hill's bowed bass underpins some classic jungle effects. Coleman Hawkins solos over some impressive riffs, but Allen's melancholy trumpet dominates the track, giving it its special atmosphere. Some of Red's earliest memories were of funerals, marching in parades playing spirituals, and waiting outside the church during the funeral service to be ready to extract the drummer from a nearby bar in time to signal the start of a parade on the snare drum with long, muffled rolls. His father led the band through hymns as they marched to the church, but Red's proudest moments came when the burial was over and the drums struck up a jazz beat for the return to the wake. His father would nod and say, "Take it, son," to signal that Red could lead the band through the jazz tunes on their way back. Like many New Orleans musicians, Allen found himself in demand to play on the Mississippi riverboats, and while still a teenager, he set sail on the Island Queen with Sidney Desivne's band. There he met many players with whom he would work again and again in his career, including bassist Pops Foster and pianist-singer Walter Fats Picon. As Allen's reputation spread, he unexpectedly received a call from King Oliver to come and join his band in St. Louis. The date was 1927, and he was just 19. Within a short while, things started to happen for him. He cut his first records, toured with Oliver to Chicago and New York, and ended up at the famous Savoy Ballroom, where the owner, Charlie Buchanan, bought him his first suit with long trousers. In New Orleans, it was the fashion to remain in short pants until the age of 20, and it seems amazing, listening to the maturity of his first discs, that Red Allen made all his Chicago appearances in short trousers. All right, one more tune from Henry Red Allen. Let's move on to Down in Jungle Town. And Down in Jungle Town, recorded in 1940, New York City, Henry Allen and his orchestra. Of course, Red Allen on trumpet, Benny Morton on trombone, Edmund Hall on clarinet, Lil Armstrong on piano, Bernard Addison on guitar, Pops Foster, there he is, on bass, and Zuddy Singleton on drums. So let's listen to Down in Jungle Town on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. Down in Jungletown, 1940. Henry Red Allen. One of Allen's later sessions as leader finds him romping through this traditional New Orleans warhorse, but with a band that balances swing styles with those of Allen's hometown. It is one of the last sessions he led in a style that combined his best 1930s work with a nostalgic look at earlier tradition, before attempting his mid-1940s jump style, on which he came close, in spirit, to Louis Jordan. So the onset of the 1940s and the advent of bebop saw Red Allen changing his style and surroundings, scaling down to a sextet some years ahead of Louis Armstrong's decision to do likewise. Red was not keen on all the traveling with Louis, so he moved his wife and young son to a new apartment in the Bronx and resolved to work locally. He began at Barney Josephson's Cafe Society in Greenwich Village and successfully fronted a sextet for the rest of his life. In the early 1940s, he worked on and off 52nd Street, including a long stay at Kelly's Stable. Allen chose a midway path between jump bands like Louis Jordan's and the bebop bands of Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker, playing swing with an aggressive edge and some challenging harmonies, but never entirely losing the style with which he was comfortable. He was sufficiently adaptable to be playing boppish themes such as Get the Mop on the one hand, and making New Orleans revivalist discs with Jelly Roll Morton and Sidney Bechet on the other. He played in small groups through the 1940s, and by 1954 he was playing at the Metropole off Times Square, where the band was arranged in long line above the bar. This was to become a venue synonymous with Red for virtually the rest of his life, just as his fellow New Orleanian Lee Collins has settled comfortably into the Victory Club in Chicago. All right, last tune here on the Jazz Treasury with Red Allen. Let's listen to Hocus Pocus. And Hocus Pocus is with Fletcher Henderson and his orchestra. Henry, Red Allen, and Russell Smith, Joe Thomas on trumpet, Claude Jones, Keg Johnson on trombones, Buster Bailey on clarinet, Russell Prokop, Hilton Jeffries on alto, Coleman Hawkins again on tenor, Fletcher Henderson on piano, Bernard Addison on guitar, John Kirby on bass, and Vic Engel on drums. Let's listen to Hocus Pocus. Thank you. Well, that's it for this edition of the Jazz Treasury. Once again, my name is Rich Sylvester, and thank you so much for your comments on Facebook and your messages. Please feel free to get in touch with me by messaging or post something you know about jazz. And this month, I want to try something a little new on the Facebook page, something called Your Jazz Experience. And I'm going to be posting one of my favorite jazz tunes. And you know what? You can feel free to do the same. Join me in Your Jazz Experience. And if you have a track or a video on YouTube that you think is exemplifies jazz in your mind and makes you happy, post that on our page and share it with us. Share your jazz experience with the Jazz Treasury. So, next time on the Jazz Treasury, we're going to learn a little bit more and listen to about the Duke's Men, fellow Ellingtonians. They made some of the most individual jazz of the 1930s and 1940s. So, tune in next time to the Jazz Treasury. Until then, enjoy the jazz.